We are reading in Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 20. Let's pray before we start to read. God Almighty, this is your word. This is the revelation and the understanding that you've given to your servant, that you desire for me to speak. And so, God, I just humble myself before you to deliver your word. And God, I trust you to take it and, Lord, and just give it to the hearts and those who need it, Lord. May you be honored and glorified in the giving of this word. And may you, Lord, just empower your servant to stand and to deliver. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 20. Then he said to the multitude that came out to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise." Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" So he said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut John up in prison. May the Holy Spirit come and give you understanding of what, in my feeble attempt, I'm trying to deliver to you today. Something that the Lord has given me to share. We know that John the Baptist is in the wilderness preaching. He is preaching repentance to the multitudes. There are multitudes who are coming out in the wilderness where he's at. And he's baptizing all who confess their repentance. It is a baptism of repentance. They come and they confess that, and they are then baptized. John says to them, he calls them brood of vipers. And that brood means an offspring of vipers. And that was all that were gathered there to hear him. That's what he called all the people of Israel who were gathered around. And he warned. He said, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So he's asking Israel that's gathered all around him. These are soldiers, tax collectors, and everyday people just like you and just like myself. And he says, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And the message today has not changed. In 2,000 years, Jesus preached this message, and Noah preached this message, and that wrath is coming, God's wrath upon unrepentant man, those refusing his son. In verse 8, John says, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Okay? If you are repentant, you will bear fruit. And it will be evident in your life. All will be able to see it in your life. You will be bearing fruit in your actions and etc. Just take it from there and see that you can't help but bear good fruit, the fruit of repentance. And John warned them. He said, you know, don't begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. And so for you who are sitting out there, the word to you today is don't think, those who are sitting in the church, don't think and say to yourself, I am a Christian. My father and my grandfather were Christians, so I don't have anything to worry about with this message of repentance. It does not apply to me. Bearing a fruit of a Christian does not apply to me because my whole family, they're all Christians. What is this message? Wrath does not apply to me. My family, they were Christians. This is what they were saying, all of those who were gathered around John, because it was Israel. John is a Jew, and John the Baptist is preaching to the Jews. They would have been the ones coming out to hear this message. And they said, you know, Abraham's our father. Abraham's our father. This is not for me. I'm a good person. Listen, God does not need the church that is filled with people of this mindset. Repentance is a daily thing. We are human and we still live in this fallen world. And we are not yet perfected. And so there is always us coming before the Lord. He is looking to save and fill folks that the church considered too hard, whose lives have been filled with destruction, that it seems impossible to everyone looking on that they would even respond to this message, much less have their hearts become flesh and broken over their sin. That is where God would have the church today, to be broken over your sin. God is speaking to the house. This is who John the Baptist is speaking to first. He's speaking to the Jew first. He's speaking to the people of God that God had made covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he is speaking to them. And so he is telling you, John the Baptist is the one, he's the voice crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. What should the church do? What should the people of God do? Those who are born again, what should we do? We should be bearing fruit. God has now, in this very day, in verse 9, John says, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And so God has now, in this very day that we live in, laid his axe to the root of these trees, to the church, to the people in the church. How many churches are falling away? They're closing the doors. How many churches are getting too big and too rich and too famous? And their pastor can speak to everyone. They can go on every news program. They can go on every talk show and they are accepted. How many of them? God is laying his axe to the very root of that. It has to be cut out. And he is cutting them down. And when his wrath comes, they will be burned up. In verse 10, you know, the people ask John. John tells him, you know, you have to bear fruit. If you don't, God's laid his axe there and you're going to be thrown into the fire. And so the people who were listening, they said, what shall we do? What shall we do? First thing they had to do was they had to come and be repentant and be baptized. Did that save them? Listen, this is before Christ is revealed and his coming. John is preparing the hearts of the people to receive, to hear, to have brokenness. Are you one of the ones who've been hearing this message and asking, what shall we do? Are you a repentant Christian? Are you asking? Listen, for those who sit week after week You earn your salary. You accumulate your wealth. And you know what? You never give. You come to church and you never give. Maybe if your conscience is bothering you a little bit, you'll give some, but not if it's going to touch anything that will interfere with what makes you happy, what you think adds to your life, what you want to heap upon yourself. John says give. John says give. If you have two tunics, give one of those away. If you have food, give to someone who does not have food. Stop being religious. Bear the fruit of a repentant life. Those who repent, those who have given their life over to the Lord. God gave everything. And He's calling His people to give in these times. In this group were people from all walks of life. People who had money. There were wealthy people out there. Most people then only had one suit of clothing, but there were those who had two, and there were those who had even more than that. And so this was a way of looking at their wealth, and then a way, listen, whatever's closest to your heart, that's what God will touch, if He's not the one. And so for the people who were asking, it apparently was what they had. And them not wanting to give. And so that's what God touches first and then. He said, look, give. Give. You got two outfits, give one. You got food, stop storing it up. Give some food. And then in verse 12, we see that the tax collectors, these are what we would call our IRS agents. They're out there. They're listening to John. Maybe they're wanting to get a piece of whatever John gets. If anyone gives anything to John, they want what's theirs first. But whatever, they were listening to John. And John preached repentance to them. He called them a brood of vipers. He told them, he said, that you are the offspring of vipers, of snakes. He says, who's warned you? So they've heard that message, repentance has come, and they said, okay, we've been baptized. What do we do now? What do we do now? What does the church do now? Those who are in this position, John said, stop collecting from people more than is required to line your own pockets. In other words, what would the IRS do today? They would terrorize people for their own gain. For their own gain, to have power over everyday people. They have power over every walk of life to make your life as miserable as they want. And they have the power to shut you down. They have the power to imprison you. They have the power to take everything that you have. You hear IRS and it's a terror. It's frightening. Verse 14, we see the same thing in this audience that John is preaching to. Every walk of life, every walk of life is there. Soldiers are there. And they were in this group of people listening. And John said to them, stop intimidating people for your own gain. Dressed as a soldier with the authority of the uniform, forcing money from people to line your own pockets, saying that you would put them in jail. You could beat them. You can take their children, take their homes, take their farms, take their lives, everything. John said, stop doing this. Stop using the power of the uniform, the authority that comes with that, to intimidate people, to take for your own gain. There's a being power hungry, like with what we were just speaking about with IRS and with soldiers, the ability to be able to intimidate. The government can use them to send them. And it is intimidating in the days that we live in. We've seen what they can do. We can no longer say the things that we said about this country that we live in. For it is no longer the country that was founded. And So in verse 15, we see that the people they were reasoning all of this out and wondering who John was, if he really was the Christ, who was him. And so this preaching, they began to think, is this the Messiah, the promised one to come? That's why I say that these were Jews that were gathered around John. We have not heard such preaching as this. We have not seen such passion, zeal for righteousness in all of our days. Not from the Pharisees, not from the Sadducees, not from those at the temple. We've not heard this. We've not heard those who are supposed to be living a holy life. This is the kind of preaching you will hear. This is the kind of preaching you're going to hear in this day and in the days ahead until the return of the Lord. This is what you're going to hear. When a person is called by God, they're sounding the alarm at all costs. Right now, it is sounding the alarm for those who will hear, and especially those in the church. The word that Pastor Mark gave us for the first of the year that God had spoken to him was to align ourselves. Those who are called to preach this message are not looking to build a following for themselves, but to point to the one who saves, and that is Jesus. So true preachers of righteousness, they do not look to gather a following. But just as John did, they say, I'm not the one to come. They don't take anything upon themselves. They make themselves out to be nothing, but they lift up the Lord. They lift up the name Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. They lift up the Savior. But He is coming. He's coming again is our message. And with Him is coming. He's coming riding on a white horse, and He's carrying a sword. His wrath is coming, not to flood the world as in Noah's day, but with fire to cleanse the world. Whose side will you be with? Will you be riding with Jesus, or will you be the one that the wrath is coming to? Jesus will separate the sinful man, sinful from the righteous. The winnowing fan John speaks of here is when the stalks are thrown into the air. This is something they would have understood. We don't understand that, especially for any city dwellers. You don't understand that. The wind blows away the chaff and the straw when they gather it. They're throwing it up in the air, and the wind catches it and blows it away, okay? So this wind, this is a picture that the wind will be true preaching, not falling to social pressures, not worrying about the crowd or lack of crowd, but desiring to be obedient to God and to the message of the day. Crowds gather first to hear, and if it's not what they like, they can become a mob. And we know what mobs can do. We've seen it on the news, what mobs can do. The wind will confirm the preaching by the tribulation that will follow the crowd who refuses. Listen, when that wind comes, the chaff and the straw are blown away, but the grain, which is heavier, the pure grain, falls back to the ground, and that's what's gathered up. That is what is good, and that is gathered up. So the winnowing fan will be that sword. It is the message right now, and it is a message that is separating the lambs from the goats. And it's used to separate the grain, the part that is good, and the part that is not edible. There is a separation coming, righteousness from unrighteousness, and Jesus will accomplish this. In verse 17, he tells them, he says that in doing this, that Jesus will thoroughly clean out his church. He's going to thoroughly clean out his church. His people, he will gather which is the wheat here. What John is using is the wheat, but it is a picture of God gathering his people, his redeemed into his barn, into heaven, into that promised home that he has for us. He says that there's one coming greater than me. And what message does any preacher have today? But there is one coming back. John was expecting him the first time. We're expecting him to come back the second time. He's not coming to be in a stable. He's not going to come and be in a poorhouse. He is coming riding on a white horse with all the redeemed behind him. We are dressed in white robes. And he is going to do battle with his very word. But the chaff, the unredeemed, the chaff will suffer. The unredeemed, he will burn with an unquenchable fire. Eternal separation from him. Hear this, church. Don't think because you come every Sunday or you're able to grace the people of God with your presence when it doesn't interfere with your plans, that you are able to come in and that when the time comes that you're just going to be okay. No, he said that you should live a life and bear fruit of a repentant life. John the Baptist preached before John the Apostle had the revelation and wrote the book at the end of our Bible that we have today. Oh, that book causes so many problems in churches. How many churches today will not preach from the book of Revelation? Afraid of losing their congregation. They are afraid of how many people sitting out there will say, oh, that is so, that the way that you're preaching is so narrow. You're condemning so many people. You're condemning so many lifestyles. You're condemning. Your God is condemning. How many Christians today will not read Revelation because of fear? Pastors don't want to preach from it because of fear. Congregations don't want to read it themselves because of fear. God did not oversee the writing of the book of Revelation. He did not give that book. He did not give that revelation to John the Apostle to cause you to be afraid. But he gave that to you so that you could see what he is going to be doing. He gave that book to you so that you would know and you would find comfort and peace in the book of Revelation. You should have peace when you hear what God is doing today. You should be on the side of God, not on the side of the world. What are you afraid of? God has made a way of escape for all of those who will come to him. Come to him in repentance. Be baptized and follow him. Let your life bear fruit. It's called salvation. That's the way of escape. We escape all of that. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Listen, for those who are born again, those who have repented of their sins, we are given the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. And for, listen, Timothy records here what God has inspired. God has not given us a spirit of fear. This is from Satan to keep you in line so that you don't have a sound mind, that you don't have power, and that you don't have love. Fear keeps you in the dark. Fear keeps you hidden away. Fear keeps you from listening. Listen, there is one kind of fear and there is another kind of fear. There is a fear and of our awesome God. And what he is doing and what he does and what he's going to do. And then there is a fear, afraid of shrinking back. The things that God is going to do are awesome. The things that man do, that man will do and what Satan will do, those things are so evil that we should tremble at that. But knowing that God has made a way of escape for us, no matter what we are faced with, God has made a way of escape for us. And so with what God has given us in the Holy Spirit, we have power. The Holy Spirit teaches us God's Word. And I'm telling you, I'm testifying to you today that God's Word is good, it is strengthening, it is comforting, and it carries us, and it will bring us home. He lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. How can the Holy Spirit live in us with a spirit of fear from Satan? Think about it. The Holy Spirit comforts us. He fills our prayers. As we pray to God, the Holy Spirit is filling our prayers as we lift them up. When we come to praise Him, the Holy Spirit is filling our praise and our worship. He comes to fill our worship. He is preparing us, the bride of Christ, for the wedding feast. If you are afraid of everything and live like an ostrich with your head in the sand at every report that you hear today and the news, and afraid of preaching about the return of Christ, I'm telling you, you need to get on your face. Because before He returns, the reports of the days will grow more evil and evil. Hiding in your head in the sand will not help. And it will not change what is coming. You cannot, your fear of not being able to face the message of today will not change what God is doing today. Admit your fear to the Lord. Listen, I'm not telling you that those things don't cause me to tremble, but it causes me to have to go to the Lord and take all of those things to Him that He can strengthen me. Confess your fears to Him. Talk to Him about them. Sit with your God, with your Father, with your Savior, and let Him comfort you. Ask for His power to stand. He has promised to empower us, to give us power to stand no matter what comes. Cast that spirit out that wants to harass you and cause you to bury your head. The world wants to intimidate you like the IRS agents, the soldiers, and the government leaders, and put fear in you, on you, so that you will conform to it, conform to its message. The godless church leaders today, they have heard the word align, and they are aligning their message with the world, and they speak the message of the world. They will say to you that God is in you. So whatever you do, or whatever you say, whatever you endorse, listen, it's okay because you are God with a little g. They will say, they will turn from their preaching of repentance. They will not acknowledge a righteous life. And the return of Jesus, they will deny. They declare that God is dead, contrary to what the movie says, that God is not dead. But they say God is dead. We are burying His body, the church, and Jesus is fake news. They will say we are God, little g, and that God, big G, of the Bible is not coming back. And that there is no wrath for you. And John, he continued to preach and exhort the people. But Herod, that's what I said, everyone was there. Herod was there. He was the government. He was the leader at that time. John had already rebuked Herod for taking his brother's wife as his own. And so Herod already had something against him. And when John preached this, he just added it to it. He added all of this up. And he knew what he had to do. He had to shut John up. So the leaders of Satan's kingdom are listening to the preachers of righteousness. Do not stop. If you are a preacher of righteousness and you hear this, do not stop. Do not be afraid. There may be suffering. You may be imprisoned. You may be falsely accused. Your name may be smeared. You could lose your family. You could be separated from your family. But do not stop. Stand for the kingdom of God. John stood. He did not turn back. He was not afraid of the tax collectors. He was not afraid of the soldiers. He was not afraid of the people. And he was not afraid of Herod, who could lock him away and will take his head. The leaders of Satan's kingdom are listening to the preachers of Christ, declaring them evil and adding to their indictment of them to shut them up, put them in prison, and execute them. Preachers of righteousness, be encouraged. God is for you. This is the news of the days ahead of us all that we are living in. These are the times that we are living in. You have to be able to stand. They're not going to get better. I don't have a word to encourage you except that Jesus has made a way of escape for all who believe and will surrender their lives to Him. Ready or not, Jesus is coming back. Amen and amen.